Hey, Unchained listeners. As you know, it's hard keeping up with the fast-paced world of crypto, so we've got just the thing for you. Subscribe to our free Unchained Daily newsletter at unchainedcrypto.substack.com. You'll get the latest crypto news and original articles from our reporters, as well as summaries of other happenings in bullet points, plus our meme of the day, all curated and written by our amazing team. It's still your no-hype resource for all things crypto, just in newsletter form. Sign up at unchainedcrypto.substack.com. Again, the URL is unchainedcrypto.substack.com.
Hi, everyone. This week's essay is by Suda Amaz, general partner at Bolt Capital, and Yele Batamosi, founder of MicroTraction, on why they believe Africa is poised to become a hub for crypto development. They give some interesting stats on how crypto is currently used and traded on the continent. Let's talk about how those factors interplay with the region's unique demographics and the status of some of the continent's fiat currencies to create what could be a unique environment for increased crypto activity. They end with what they think crypto entrepreneurs should be working on to help further that development. This is a great essay that will give investors and entrepreneurs and anyone who is interested in reaching the unbanked a lot to think about. Enjoy the show. CipherTrace helps grow the crypto economy by making it trusted by governments, safe for consumers and investors, and by protecting financial institutions from crypto laundering risks. What's the best way to spend crypto? The MCO Visa card lets you spend anywhere Visa is accepted, including your coffee shop or the Apple Store, all with up to 5% back. Download the Crypto.com app and reserve yours now.
Kraken is the best exchange in the world for buying and selling digital assets. It has the tightest security, deep liquidity, and a great fee structure with no minimum or hidden fees. Whether you're looking for a simple fiat on-ramp or futures trading, Kraken is the place for you.
Why Africa is poised to be the next hub for crypto development, written by Suda Amaz and Yele Batamosi. When you think of crypto development and entrepreneurship, you may think of activity in the US, Europe, or Asia. But it's actually Africa that has shown some of the strongest organic demand for Bitcoin. In 2018, the top three countries with the most relative interest searching for Bitcoin were South Africa, Ghana, and Nigeria, respectively. By 2019, Nigeria had risen to the first place, with South Africa and Ghana also rounding out the top five. Unlike the West and Asia, where users access cryptocurrencies via exchanges, there is a significant and rapidly growing amount of activity via peer-to-peer trades in Africa. Users in Africa are sending and receiving digital assets the way Satoshi envisioned, peer-to-peer. Not only are Africans using cryptocurrencies in their intended manner, but the continent also has several other characteristics that make it a prime spot to become the next major hub for crypto development. First, numerous economies on the continent are seeing rampant hyperinflation, making cryptocurrencies an attractive option in these countries. Second, there's also a lot of fintech activity in Africa. So much of the financial system already works on digital rails rather than the legacy banking system. And finally, the population is younger and more digitally native than elsewhere, making them a natural fit for the adoption of crypto assets. That's why we strongly urge crypto investors and entrepreneurs to look at the opportunities on this continent of 1.2 billion people to start investing in and developing with and for them.
Failing fiat currencies. Steer's Business is a thoughtful business publication based in Lagos, Nigeria, that covers Nigerian finance, economics, and development. One newsletter they sent out was endearingly titled, Why Earning Naira Sucks. The article never mentions cryptocurrency or Bitcoin, but some other points sound familiar. Just gleaning a few thoughts from the article, we learn, one, about 30 or so years ago, 5,000 Naira used to get you a new Volkswagen Beetle with a good sum left over. Today, it's equivalent to about $13.80. This is the Cantillon effect on steroids. For those who aren't familiar with the concept, the Cantillon effect is observed when new supply of money is printed and circulated in the economy. For example, in the US, those who are the first to receive new dollars, which are usually banks or government, benefit from the fresh supply as they use it in an economy where prices are already still set by the existing supply of money. By the time the new supply makes its way to the hands of the middle class worker, prices have been adjusted to account for inflation. What this means is that the worker's purchasing power is shot. And it explains why the banking sector and the government, as the first recipients, often appear insulated from the recession. Number two, inflation was over 11% in Nigeria at the time the newsletter was published, meaning that the prices of goods will be at six times their current price by 2035 if the same rate is held constant. To contextualize this, you'd have to earn six times your present salary in 15 years just to maintain your current standard of living. Number three, the punchline states, for everyone else, don't hold on to your Nairas for too long. It will not be worth much in a few years. To be clear, this is not a country that has implemented a multiple currency system. Naira is the default method of payment in Nigeria. And here is a publication on finance, warning Nigerian citizens that the most fiscally responsible thing they can do right now is get rid of it. Exchange Naira for what exactly, the team doesn't say. It's important to note that the hyperinflation we see in Nigeria is not isolated to the country. It's part of a broader trend across the continent. South Sudan's inflation rate is the third highest in the world at 56%, with Liberia following close behind at 23%. In Sudan, the gravity of the problem can be best observed not through the population's eagerness to trade out of the Sudanese pound, but by the bank's attempt to stop it, as evidenced by their restrictions on U.S. dollar deposits. If we look to Zimbabwe, we see the country not only has the highest rate of inflation in Africa, but also holds the record for one of the worst cases of hyperinflation in history. The rampant devaluation of their currency has forced some Zimbabweans to look to alternative currencies. In an interview with Reuters, Arnold Menziwa, who works for an IT and telecoms company in Harare, says, "I have now changed all my reserves to Bitcoin, because that is the only way I can protect my investment. If I have $500 in the bank, I won't get it back and I'll be losing value." As the journalist who interviewed Arnold puts it, for Zimbabweans, Bitcoin seems to offer rare protection from the onset of hyperinflation and financial implosion. What Africa's fintech activity can tell us about its crypto future? Understanding the state of African fintech today and how it developed is a strong indicator for crypto's future on the continent. The macro tailwinds that catalyzed fintech growth on the continent are very similar, if not the same, to the macro tailwinds around crypto in Africa. In fact, some even consider cryptocurrencies to be the last leg of fintech. Fintech companies unbundle all the standard economic functions of banks via more streamlined digital interfaces, with one exception, of course, monetary policy transmission. Cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin facilitate the separation of money from central banking. Fintech companies attempt to bridge the gap where fintech's economic possibilities end and where cryptos begin by building support for digital assets. We've already seen this with Square, Revolut, and Robinhood, among many others. Fintech adoption in Africa is soaring. According to the Ernst & Young 2019 Global Fintech Adoption Index, emerging markets are leading the way in fintech adoption. The top adoption rate is in both China and India at 87%, but right after that is South Africa at 82% adoption. This is more than Japan, France, and the USA, which are at 34%, 35%, and 46%, respectively. What's more, according to the IMF, sub-Saharan Africa has become the global leader in mobile money transfer services, with East Africa leading in mobile money adoption and usage. Higher internet, telecommunications, and mobile penetration, coupled with a lack of legacy financial systems, means banks and financial institutions have had to develop innovations like mobile money, chatbots, and digital bank apps to deliver financial services. The rapid proliferation of mobile phones in a short amount of time allowed Africans to skip the landline phase of development and jump straight into the digital age. Since the market is not plagued by legacy financial infrastructure, the activation energy required to get mobile native payment solutions integrated is much lower than in other parts of the world. Many countries in Africa have mobile usage rates that hover around 90 to 93%. And in context for American listeners, US mobile usage is around 96%. And the third most common use for phones in Africa, right after sending texts and photos, is payments. By investing in the development of vast agent networks, telcos have laid down infrastructure that serves as an on-ramp for mobile money to explode. In fact, according to the Brookings Institute, Sub-Saharan Africa leads the world in both per capita registered and active mobile money accounts and volume of mobile money transactions. The number of mobile money accounts in Sub-Saharan Africa has now surpassed bank accounts. Products like M-Shwari and M-Pesa lead the way in terms of mobile money innovation here. M-Pesa and M-Shwari are mobile platforms that allow users to store and transfer money through their mobile phones. M-Pesa is the market leader in mobile payment services, boasting over 25 million users. This self-serve behavior around mobile payments allows a more seamless transition to internet-native solutions like crypto, which is primarily accessed via phones and desktop. In order to reach more of these users, some crypto companies are acquiring fintech mobile money platforms. For instance, a little over a year ago, Aza, an African blockchain payments company, acquired TransferZero, a mobile payments fintech platform that services over 200 countries. Overseas financing. Technical infrastructure is, of course, not enough to change the existing system at scale. In order to affect change, you need capital. Investors are now waking up to the fact that Africa could drive global growth over the next several decades. Half the population is under 30, and they're enterprising. Not only are they getting actual capital, but they're accumulating social capital as well. Today, there are over 81,000 African students studying in Chinese universities who are coming back to the continent equipped with skills, equipped with information, and new relationships. The Brookings Institute forecasts that over the next 5 years, about half of the world's fastest growing economies will be located in Africa, with 20 economies expanding at an average rate of 5% or higher, faster than the 3.6% rate for the global economy. As populations in African countries climb but dwindle elsewhere, capital allocators cannot afford to ignore the vibrant, burgeoning startup community on the continent. This awareness largely explains the change we've seen in China and US financing activity in Africa. Last year, China committed $60 billion in aid, credit, and loans to Africa. Some of the largest investments have gone to fintech startups like OPay, which is a platform that enables users to shop and pay for services and products through their mobile or web browser, and PalmPay, which is a payments app that gives rewards for spending. In aggregate, the companies closed something to the tune of $240 million in funding from over 12 different Chinese investors, including Hillhouse Capital, Source Code Capital, and IDG Capital. Historically, the U.S. has aligned with Africa as a foreign aid partner instead of investing in large infrastructure projects, barring a few exceptions. If we look at the past few years, though, we can see that this trend is changing. The largest investors by number of projects in Africa are the United States, France, and the UK, respectively. However, China is still the largest investor in terms of total capital. Many young entrepreneurs are stepping up to design mobile payment solutions and getting the funding to do so. In 2019, 234 African startups raised $1.3 billion. 41% went to companies in fintech, the largest single sector into which investment is funneled. This is 30 times as much than what was raised in 2012, and the trend does not show any sign of slowing down soon. Given that about half of venture capital raised in Africa goes into fintech, it's no surprise that the sector distribution of blockchain projects also mirrors the traditional startup ecosystem, with 50.3% of blockchain projects falling into the financial category. Africa's fintech landscape. If we look to the top 10 African fintech companies that have been funded in the past 2 years, we can see that they fall squarely into a few buckets: lending, payments, and point of sale, which are programmed to execute retail transactions at a specific time and place. Payments includes remittances, which is arguably the largest category, with companies like OPay, Cellulant, and Interswitch. When we later dig into crypto investing activity in Africa, we'll see that some of the top-funded crypto companies mirror fintech investments and that they also largely fall into the lending and payments category.
Today's episode is brought to you by Kraken. Kraken is the best exchange in the world for buying and selling digital assets. With all the recent exchange hacks and other troubles, you want to trade on an exchange you can trust. Kraken's focus on security is utterly amazing. Their liquidity is deep and their fee structure is great, with no minimum or hidden fees. They even reward you for trading so you can make more trades for less. If you're a beginner, you will find an easy on-ramp from 5 fiat currencies. And if you're an advanced trader, you'll love their 5x margin and futures trading. To learn more, please go to kraken.com. That's kraken.com. Why should you get an MCO Visa card from crypto.com? First, it's a beautiful metal card. You can top up the card with crypto and spend anywhere Visa is accepted. You also get up to 5% back every time you spend on all spending, including your morning coffee, gas, or even a new phone. You know they'll pay for your Spotify and Netflix too. You'll love the unlimited airport lounge access and interbank exchange rates if you travel a lot. There are so many cool perks loaded in one card. Download the crypto.com app and reserve yours now. Protecting exchanges and banks from fraud and money laundering risks while protecting crypto users' privacy. That's how to grow the crypto economy. And that's why CipherTrace has spent years of research developing the world's best cryptocurrency intelligence with coverage for the most tokens. So if your crypto asset business isn't using CipherTrace, you should start now, because hackers and fraudsters can run with the cryptocurrency loot, but with CipherTrace, they can't hide. Learn more about how we're making virtual assets safe and trusted at CipherTrace.com.
Why Africa is ripe for crypto disruption. Consider for a moment that the average age of the African population today is 19 years old. In 15 years, the number of working age people joining the workforce from Africa would outnumber that of the rest of the world combined. Why does this matter? As John Kinthoko, a former Kenyan journalist who investigated bribery and fraud in his home country, puts it, we now have a young generation of Africans below the age of 35 realizing that for them, secure livelihoods, health, education, and security for themselves and for their children is precarious, and they're willing to challenge the institutions that have led to this reality. The desire to adopt new solutions and challenge existing institutions from at least half of the population bodes well for frontier tech like cryptocurrencies to be used and developed further. One of the reasons for young Africans' interest in cryptocurrencies, it's because of its potential as a store of value. In the last 3 to 4 years, one of the mega trends in financial habits for millennials is savings and investment apps, such as CowrieWise and PiggyVest. With banks offering 0% interest rates on savings accounts, these apps have grown in popularity because they allow their users to earn anything from 10 to 15% per annum in interest. They're able to do this by aggregating the savings of each individual user and using it to buy treasury bills, which are usually out of the reach of millennials because of the required investment minimum. And this effectively democratizes access to this asset class. However, because the rate of inflation in most African countries is low double digits, the effective interest rate is about 0 to 3% per annum. This is why digitally native African millennials are drawn to Bitcoin, because it's both a hedge against inflation and has outsized dollar-based return potential. We are seeing an increased uptick in the awareness level of Bitcoin. Tomiwa Lashebikon, co-founder of Bitcoins, a fiat-to-crypto app for Africa, told us this. Even amongst millennials, there is increasingly a savings and investment culture. They are probably willing to take more risk than the average Westerner because they are more used to the downside anyways. The downside it describes is primarily due to the consistent devaluation of African currencies against the dollar, as well as weak performance of other investment opportunities. For instance, Nigeria is Africa's largest economy, and the All-Share Index, which is the S&P 500 index of the Nigerian Stock Exchange, has a negative return of 7.83% over the last 5 years. In comparison, Bitcoin during that same period has shown a return of 3,864%. Another driver is the low transaction cost of cryptocurrencies compared to the fees in legacy systems. According to Elizabeth Rosilio, CEO and founder of Azza Finance, small businesses in Africa often pay nearly 200% more than larger businesses in transaction fees. The use of the US dollar as an intermediary settlement currency results in transaction fees that can range from 3% to as high as 10%, and cross-border transactions usually take 3 days to settle and as worst 2 weeks. With small and medium businesses accounting for 90% of all businesses on the continent, this grossly impacts intra-Africa trade. Evident by the fact that intra-Africa trade exports is only 17% of total African exports. In comparison, intra-EU exports and intra-Asia exports are 68% and 60% respectively. Across the continent, access to US dollar is controlled centrally, becoming scarce, and is the only available to the largest companies or those who have political connections, making it very difficult for small and medium businesses to get foreign exchange needed to transact. Bitcoin is fast becoming an alternative intermediary currency that is faster, easier to transmit, and more accessible to the average small business. These transactions are typically done in a peer-to-peer manner through informal channels like WhatsApp groups with about 100 to 200 members run by trusted admins with minimal KYC. This behavior mirrors what we see in the FX markets on the continent. Another unique difference is that unlike in advanced economies, peer-to-peer Bitcoin marketplaces like Paxful and local Bitcoins are more popular than simplified fiat to crypto mobile apps like Luno. Paxful reportedly traded $1.6 billion in 2019, with the Nigerian Naira being the second largest currency by trading volume and Kenyan shilling rounding out the top 10. Some popular African alternatives to Coinbase include but are not limited to Luno, Condirect, and Bitcoins, a YC-backed fiat to crypto on-ramp. However, the number of crypto exchanges is on the rise. Our primary research tracked over 47 exchanges across Africa, with at least 15 exchanges being launched in 2018 alone. Nigeria leads the pack with 12 exchanges, followed by South Africa with 7, and Kenya, Ghana, Uganda all coming in at third with 5 exchanges each. Global exchanges are also moving into the continent. Binance launched its first fiat-to-crypto exchange in Uganda in 2019, and the very first fiat currency to be added on Binance.com was the Nigerian Naira. One factor that enables entrepreneurs to build these products is the crypto-friendly regulation landscape in Africa. Regulatory landscape and project distribution. To date, apart from Namibia and Morocco that have outrightly banned cryptocurrencies, in most countries, there is no existing regulation that encumbers the experimentation and development of crypto and blockchain projects on the continent. This has been an important factor in enabling the incredible growth in the number of blockchain or digital asset-related projects. Our research found 120-plus projects across the continent, showing an increase of about 373% in under 2 years, covering a broad range of sectors from financial services, agriculture, education, supply chain, energy, and so many more. Crypto investing activity. Overall information on investing activity for blockchain startups in Africa is hard to come by, as it's currently not a norm to announce investment deals. From private conversations, we know that many companies have raised capital, usually between $100,000 to $1 million, with most investment focusing on crypto inclusion, that is, on and off ramps for crypto to fiat, such as Bitcoins and Bitsika, with other companies falling into exchange category. They include CoinDirect, which raised a little over $1 million from MakerDAO and Blockchain.com, as well as Valour, which raised $1.5 million from Bittrex. Lastly, various companies servicing remittance corridors, such as Azza, which was formerly known as BitPesa, raised $50 million.
Request for products. In addition to all of this activity, we think there's still a lot of room for growth. The crypto community has an especially strong opportunity to do what many entrepreneurs in the space say they care about, which, in a nutshell, is to provide access to better, smarter, cheaper financial services, and help individuals who need it to most to achieve financial freedom, starting with Africa. Here are some of the top products we think teams should be working on. Cambridge Benchmark Study for 2018 Q1 to Q3 estimated that crypto asset service providers had at least 35 million ID-verified crypto asset users, and only 4%, approximately 1.4 million users, are in Africa, meaning that the majority of African users are using informal methods, like messaging apps, to buy and sell crypto. In order to onboard 100 million plus new everyday African users and drive crypto inclusion on the continent, we must build applications that feel simple and familiar. That's where fiat on-ramps like Bitcoins come in. In addition to fiat on-ramps, white label software that can provide the technical architecture to set up a Bitcoins in every country in Africa is a huge opportunity. This plug-and-play solution would lower the friction to set up digital asset on-ramps in various countries, which means instead of worrying about technical challenges, the entrepreneur can focus on customer acquisition, payment integrations, and regional regulatory compliance.
The informal economy is part of any economy that is neither taxed nor monitored by any form of government. It's a complex adaptive system that uses digital means to trade and exchange value on its own terms. In Africa, the informal economy is about 85% of total employment in sub-Saharan Africa, and it accounts for about half of the continent's GDP, conservatively estimated. Since the majority of Africans are currently unbanked, the informal economy is currently larger than the formal. Over time, the informal economy in Africa will become more formal. Digitization without decentralization in the wrong hands can lead to an imbalance and abuse of power, especially within nation states where there's a lack of good governance and institutions are weak. To counterbalance this, we must build a parallel and open digital payments infrastructure through fiat-backed stablecoins, such as Nigerian Naira issued on-chain, backed by another fiat stablecoin, such as BUSD or USDC. These are further along the spectrum of current African fiat stablecoins, such as Naira Token, NGNT, or Africa stablecoin, ABCD. In order for the average African to use these alternative forms of money, they would need very simple and user-friendly non-custodial wallets that make peer-to-peer payments seamless, not dissimilar to Venmo or Square Cash, and will probably use threshold signature schemes that enable non-custodial wallets which don't require a user to write down their private keys on paper. Finally, 95% of all retail transactions on the continent are done by cash. One of the reasons why cash is still the most predominant way to transact is that it's currently too costly in terms of transaction fees to move value digitally. For example, a large part of daily transactions in Nigeria are under 500 naira, equivalent of $1.38. It currently costs 52 naira, about 14 cents, to send money digitally. That's a 10% tax on micropayments. For cryptocurrencies to be adopted as a daily alternative, it's important that transaction fees are negligible and wallets have layer 2 scalability solutions like Seller and Matic. They make micropayments of 30 cents feasible on-chain.
Our future outlook. There are a few macro, social, economic, and regulatory trends on the continent that give Africa an edge in creating a fertile environment for the digital asset ecosystem to grow. What this means is there is a large opportunity here for peer-to-peer solutions to thrive. Investors and founders need to think carefully about the market and prioritize solutions that are relevant to the largest segment of the population. Yele and I largely believe these solutions will come in the form of digital assets and the intermediaries that best leverage them. Bitcoin's founder, Tumiwa, agrees, stating, "I see more African developers being proficient in blockchain-related software development and getting better access to decentralized financial apps, for example, time locking Bitcoin, saving into dollar-denominated stablecoins, earning interest by loaning crypto assets to people all over the world." Interested in learning more? If you're a developer, entrepreneur, or investor who's interested in building products or joining a startup in Africa's vibrant ecosystem, don't hesitate to reach out to us at suna@volt.capital
or yele@binance.com.
We would love to hear from you.
Thanks so much for joining us today. To learn more about Suna and Yele and to read their essay at unchainedpodcast.com, check out the show notes inside your podcast player. Whether you're feeling this crypto winter or the other kind of winter, keep yourself warm with some Unchained t-shirts, hats, mugs, and stickers, which you can find at shop.unchainedpodcast.com. Unchained is produced by me, Laura Shin, with help from Factual Recording Anthony Yoon, Daniel Ness, Josh Durham, and the team at CLK Transcription. Thanks for listening.